Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Pastor Rader is gone today. All right, so he's left it up to Pastor Bill and myself and Greg. We're going to be able to run the show while he's gone. He's down at Corona. You can, Galen A., you shouldn't be waving your hand like that. He's watching, all right? All right, but he's down there. We want to make sure that we are praying for him while he's down there. He's preaching at Corona today down at Jason George's church. And so make sure you keep him in your prayer. I'm sure he'll be praying for us as well. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John. John in chapter 18, verses 37 through 38. There, John 18, in verse 37 through 38. And then we'll switch right over to John and chapter 8 and verses 31 through 36. But John 18, 37 and 38. It says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And then turn over to John in chapter 8, and verses 31 through 36. John in chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. It says there, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage of any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. I pray that you would just give me the words that you would have me to say. I pray our hearts would be open to your word and the working of the Holy Spirit. Bless this time, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. What is truth? That's what I'm preaching on this morning. What is truth? I'm going to tell you a story about truth. Every year, myself and the Cromies will go on a camping trip somewhere, and Greg has all these adventures planned out. He calls them adventures, everyone else calls them torture. But we have these adventures planned out, and they're actually fun adventures because I get to see Rachel mad at Greg the entire time, whether it's a 10-mile hike or whatever it is. She's in the back, and Greg's in the front because he's always trying to keep his distance. He tries to act like he's talking to everybody, but really he's trying to stay away from Rachel because she's mad that she's being drug along on these adventures. But anyway, we're over in Marquette, in Marquette they have the Black Rocks over there. Anybody familiar with the Black Rocks in Marquette? All right, there are some cliffs, and people go and jump off of them. And so we had this great adventure that we were going to go over there, and we were going to jump off these cliffs. And so my boys, they started to climb up there onto the cliffs, and Caden climbed up there, and even I think Greg went over there, and I was kind of pressured into going, and they were going up there. There's no way I could not go up there if they're all going up on these cliffs. So I got up there as brave as I could, climbed up there. They're probably, if I were to estimate, probably 50, 60 feet in the air right around there. And when I got up there, right away, I saw that cliff, and I saw it way, it was way, how far that water was down, and I ran, and I did a backflip off of that thing, and I somersaulted and did a perfect swan dive into the water there, and there was huge waves crashing all over the place, And that's my truth. The reality that actually took place was those cliffs are not 50, 60 feet tall. They're probably closer to 25 feet on a good day. And as I was climbing up those cliffs, my hands are shaking the whole time because I'm not that fond of heights. And when I got up there, Hayden jumps off, Trigg jumps off, even Greg jumps off. There's elementary girls up there jumping off. And I've sat up there, honestly, maybe 40 minutes, thinking about what would happen if I jumped off those cliffs. And in fact, at one point, one of the little girls that were up there offered me $5 to get out of the way so she could jump. And that's the truth of it. That is really the truth that took place on those cliffs. Everyone's got some different truth about stuff. And Scripture tells us, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not only this is Scripture, but this is a model that a lot of the world's universities or educational institutes, they misuse this, and they don't understand what is actually being said here in this passage. The world will tell you to get knowledge, and that's what sets you free. Go to university. Go to college. Learn a bunch of facts. That's what makes you free. People, they seek the truth, and they think with that truth, they seek freedom. Scientists, they seek truth, right? They seek truth about the physical universe. The philosopher, he tries to find truth about human existence. The psychologist will try to find truth in action and reaction. The world says knowledge is what sets a man free. It's what sets a man free. I've got a math book here. I've used this illustration before, but I've got a math book here. And in here is all kinds of facts and formulas and all these kind of different things. But you know what? All these facts and all these formulas, you can learn them all, but none of it, you will find nowhere in here how to be free. You won't find anywhere how to be free. And here I got a science book. There's all kinds of facts and knowledge within this book, but nowhere in this science book are you going to find freedom. Nowhere in here will you find truth. It is not there. So what is the truth that sets men free? John 14:6 tells us this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ tells us that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. The truth that will set you free is the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth that he went to the cross a perfect man. The truth that he bore the punishment for all sin, for all eternity's past and all eternity's future. He bore that sin. The truth that he died for those sins. The truth that he conquered the grave and rose again. The truth that through his work on the cross has set the captive free, has broke the bondage of sin that has enslaved mankind for all the past and all eternity. The truth that he fulfilled the law, undoing its curse and making all who accept his free gift heirs with him. Jesus Christ is the truth that sets men free. He's the truth that does that. Jesus Christ is the truth that when you gave your life to him and accepted his free gift of salvation, when you accepted that free gift of salvation, he opens your mind in glorious ways. You are quickened, Scripture said. You are made alive by him. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He sets you free. He's the truth that is talked about there. The truth does set you free. That truth is Jesus Christ. He's the one who sets you free. So he's the truth that sets us free, but free from what? Free from what? John chapter 8, verse 34 through 36. John in chapter 8, verse 34 through 36. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." In the garden, man was free, but sin put him into bondage. Sin put him into bondage. Adam made a choice to rebel against God when he took of the fruit that he was not supposed to, when he took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because of that act of sin, sin entered into the world. It was the sin of rebellion in Adam's heart that entered into the world. It is the rebellion that takes place. I often wonder if Adam was in today's society and he was a kid in school, he would probably tell his parents, "All I did was take some fruit. I just ate some fruit in class." That's not the issue. The issue was you were told not to. It's the rebellion in the heart that's the sin. It's the big difference there. It's the rebellion that's sin. And so because of sin, and Romans in chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Before salvation, before we put our faith in the finished work of the cross, you were enslaved and put into bondage of sin. We were children of the devil, Scripture says, and we were led captive at his will. Oh, before we were saved, we would say, "Well, we have free will, and we can. We're not slaves. We have a choice to do it." We boasted that we could do as we pleased before that. Do as we pleased. We boasted that, but no, it was an illusion of the father of lies. It's an illusion to think that you're free without Christ. It is not so. It was a slavish freedom is what we had. We were slaves to it. It was a pretend freedom. It wasn't real. We were slaves to our lusts, and we were slaves to our passions, and slaves to sin. But now we are freed from sin through the work of Jesus Christ. We are delivered from our tyrant who controlled us. We were delivered from that tyrant. A stronger than he was cast out, has cast out the strong man armed, and we are set free. Amen. We're set free. According to God, anyone who sins is a slave to it. And Scripture says, for all have sinned, so therefore all of mankind is in bondage to sin. We are all in bondage to it. You can look all over the world and you can see mankind as a slave. You can see it everywhere. To his sin. It is a hold of them, and every time it calls its name, they must answer. They must answer because it owns them. From the drunk on the bar stool, when his master calls, he's got to answer. He's got to go. From the drug addict, when his taskmaster calls, he's got to go. It's his taskmaster. He must obey. To the rebellious child who thinks everything is about himself, to the adult who puts everything before God, sin controls their life. It controls their life. And when it calls, they have to answer because it owns them. They're in bondage to it. A man without the truth is a man that sin has dominion over. What's that truth? The truth of Jesus Christ. The man without Jesus Christ is in bondage to the sin in this world. He has no choice. It controls him. It owns him. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's the Son, Jesus Christ, the truth. Jesus Christ is what makes you free. That's what makes you free. He's the one who frees you from the bondage of sin. He's the one who sets the captive free. He's the one that does that. Romans 6:14 tells us, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. When you accept Jesus Christ, no longer are you under its dominion. You are set free. If you sit here today, a child of God, and sin has you in bondage, you do not have to live like that. You don't have to. God paid the price for you. You don't have to answer its call. You can live free. It doesn't control you. Give it to the Lord. It no longer owns you. You've been redeemed. You've been purchased. It doesn't control your life anymore. You've been quickened and made alive. Your spirit has. Thank God that when you accepted his free gift of salvation, he released you from the bondage of sin. You're no longer under it. John chapter 5. Let's look over there. John in chapter 5 and verse 24. John 5:24 says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The nation of Israel spent 400 years under the taskmasters, the cruel taskmasters of Egypt. But God did not forget about them. God didn't forget about them when they were in Egypt. He sent Moses to deliver them. We all know the story of Moses. He sent Moses to deliver them from their bondage. And they cried out to the Lord and they were asking for help. He sent Moses. And although Moses was able, through the power of God, lead them out of the bondage of Egypt, he was not able to deliver them from the greater bondage of sin and the punishment thereof of sin. He wasn't able to do that. He was able to take them out of the physical bondage, but the spiritual bondage, they were still underneath. It still controlled them. And it was evident in their life as they went through, as they passed through the Red Sea, and then they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disbelief. All right, but they were still under the bondage of sin. He was not able to deliver them. Sin's consequences still rested upon all mankind. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 5:8-9, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. God is a just and righteous God. Man brought sin into this world, and that sin had to be paid for. It had to be paid for. Death was the wage. It was the payment for that sin. Eternal separation from God was the payment for that sin. A debt that no man could fulfill until the Son of God came to settle that payment. He settled it. 1 Timothy 2:6 tells us, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. He gave himself a ransom. He took the place of mankind to become a propitiation for man's sin. But not just our sins, but the sins of the entire world from eternity's past to eternity's future. Every single sin was on the cross when Jesus Christ died there that day. The Son of God, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that he might redeem mankind. Every sin. That's an amazing thought. All the sins that I committed in my past and all the sins that I'm going to commit were on the cross that day. And not just my sins, the sins of those that reject Jesus Christ. They were there as well. Every single one of them, from their past to the future, they were all there when Jesus Christ died on the cross. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he does not have to be re-crucified. Those sins have already been paid for. They've been put on the cross when he died there that day. And it's important for us to understand that. And when Jesus Christ, the high priest, shed his blood, and he took that blood, and he put it on the mercy seat in heaven, as a sacrifice, the just and righteous God saw that payment that was made and declared the debt of sin that was against me paid in full. Amen. Paid in full. Every bit of it because of what he did on the cross. The truth. We seek the truth. It will set you free. The truth. Jesus Christ took our place on the cross so that we may be set free. Free from the punishment of sin. Free from the bondage of sin. He bore that punishment of all the sins that were ever committed so that mankind could be set free. What love is this? What love is that? That's an amazing love. A love that we don't even fully comprehend. We can't even fully understand that kind of love. Because he did it while I was a sinner. He did it while I was a sinner. It's easy to love those who love you. But how about those who hate you and die for those people? That's love. He showed that to us. You might be saying, what? A Christian no more? Is a Christian no more a sinner in God's sight? I'd answer it like this. He's a sinner when you consider him in himself. But when he is in the person of Christ, he is no more a sinner and has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and made whiter than snow. When you are in Christ, you must understand that the very guilt of the sinner has been taken away. It's been taken away. Here I stand today, guilty. Guilty and condemned as a traitor. Guilty and condemned. Christ offers me salvation. He bids me to leave my prison and says, I'll stand in your place. I'll stand where you are. I'll be your substitute. I will be the sinner. All your guilt is to be imputed to me. And I will die for it. I will suffer for it. I will have your sins. That's an amazing statement. I will have your sins. Then he strips his robes off of himself. He strips his robes off. And then he puts them on me. And you shall be considered as you were Christ, he says. You shall be the righteous one. I will take your place. You take mine. And justice cries, bring forth the sinner to be punished. It's not me that steps forth. It's Christ. He steps forth. He took my place. He's the one who steps forth and takes that spot, the very Son of God. True, he did not commit the sin. He was without fault, but it is imputed to him. He stands in the sinner's place. My place. Now justice says, bring forth the righteous. Bring forth the righteous. Who does he bring forth? The church steps forth. The church steps forth. Each believer is brought forth. Everyone who's accepted his free gift of salvation are brought forth the righteous. Justice asks, are these righteous? The answer is an overwhelming yes. Yes, they are. What Christ did is ours, and what we did is put on Christ. What we did is put on Christ. His righteousness is theirs. Their sin are his. That's love. Takes our place. So when God looks at me, he does not see Josh and all of his sins. And I create sins. If you watch the game on Friday, I sinned, I think, in that game. I may have lost my mind a couple times, but I sinned. But when Christ sees me, he sees his son and what he did for me. And his righteousness is put on me. And my sin is put on him. What a glorious thought that is. To have that as a Christian. Not a license to sin. God forbid, Paul said. God forbid. But to know that he paid the price for me. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You are free indeed. There is no other way about it. When the Son of Man was lifted up on the cross, he was sacrificed so that we could be free indeed. Freed from the enslavement of sin, freed from the bondage and oppression of sin, and joint heirs with him. Joint heirs with Christ. Sounds almost blasphemous to be joint heirs at the same level with Christ. His righteousness is put on me. The truth, Jesus Christ shall make you free. He's the one who frees you from the bondage of sin. That is the truth that is spoke of there. That's the truth. It's not knowledge and facts and education. You can get as many pieces of paper that say you're smart as you want. It does not free you. You can repeat back any amount of facts that you want so that you can get good grades. It does not free you. It doesn't free you. It just means that you're a parrot. And you can say back things that they want you to say. And you can remember them if you're good. That's not what sets you free. It's Christ that sets you free. He's the one who frees you from the bondage of sin. Thank God that he sent his son to set us free from the punishment of sin. Amen. I'm so thankful. Amen. Hell is no place that I want to spend eternity. Amen. Hell is no place that you want to spend eternity. Because of Christ's work on the cross, you don't have to spend eternity there. You can spend eternity in heaven under the cloud of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was imputed upon you. Switch spots. Amazing. Free to perform acts of righteousness. Romans 6:18 tells us, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. When you were made free, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you took him into your life, now your life has changed completely. Now you can perform acts of righteousness that are pleasing to our Savior. But now, being made free from sin and became servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and unto everlasting life. It's a completely different thing. Before accepting Christ as your Savior, before you were washed by the blood, God's word tells us that we were slaves to sin. We already read it in the book of John. We are slaves to sin and did its work. And when it called, we answered. And when it told us what to do, we did it. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross and you accepted that free gift of salvation, you now have the ability, because of the imputed righteousness of God in your life, the imputed righteousness of Christ in your life, you had the ability to perform acts of righteousness that are pleasing to God. That brings satisfaction to him, that he loves. Everything you did that you thought was holy, God's word before Christ tells us is as filthy rags. It's as filthy rags. You could be the nicest person. You can spend every single day at the soup kitchen. You could help people and you could give all your money to the poor. And every single act without Christ is filthy because of the vessel that is delivering it. Because of the vessel. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he washed you white as snow. And now that vessel is beautiful. And when those acts of righteousness are performed before God for his glory, it's like a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. because you're doing things for him, not for yourself. Now you're set free from the bondage of sin. You are a new creature, and being set free from the sin, you become the servants of righteousness. And now when I serve the Lord, I serve the Lord. And it is to righteousness because of what Christ did for me. And all those acts, like I said before, are a sweet savor in his nostrils. Your life doesn't have to be an existence of perpetual selfishness. That's how the world lives. It's all about me all the time. It's what it is. It doesn't have to be an existence of perpetual selfishness. It doesn't have to be all about you. I tell the teenagers all the time, the Christian life is about others. It's about others. It's not about me. It's about others. And now you serve something much bigger, with a bigger purpose. And you have the purpose of a fulfilled life. A life which you were created to do. A life that brings honor and glory to God. What a great gift. Thank God for the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ, who sets us free that we could perform acts of righteousness that would be pleasing to God. That's a great thing to be thankful for. I'm closing up here, and we've moved along pretty fast. Next week, you're going to be able to tell Pastor Rader you got out earlier. Right? But we're moving along pretty fast. In conclusion, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know Christ. You shall know Christ, and he will make you free. The truth that shall make you free is not found within man's ability. It's not where it's at. It's not in man's ability. It's not found in textbooks filled with man's knowledge. But it is found in the person Jesus Christ. That's where it's found. If you come to Christ, put your faith in him and his work on the cross, he will set you free. You don't have to live in bondage. If you're a Christian and you're in bondage because you keep running back to the world, you don't have to live like that. You say, oh, it's just got a hold of me. I can't shake it. I can't get rid of it. Turn it over to the King. He already paid for it. It's done. Confess it. Leave it there. What did Christ say? He told the sinners, go and sin no more. That's what he told them. Don't do it again. And when you do it again, leave it at the cross again. And go and sin no more. He paid for it. He can set you free. He will set you free from the bondage of sin. He will set you free from the punishment of sin. And he will set you free to perform acts of righteousness. He will make you a new creature, and your eyes can be opened. You don't have to live like that. You can live free. You can live free. God tells us in Scripture over 400 times, there is but one way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the truth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can be set free. Are you free today? Or do you feel like sin's just got a hold of your life? Two things. One, either you're not a child of God and you've not been set free yet, or you've run back to the world and are putting yourself in bondage. You don't have to live like that. You can turn it over and be free.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.